Last time on Fractured Futures.
What is he doing here? Bashara is like, I told you I had to get the two, I calculated everyone's location and I had to go for the two closest realities. Jonas and Martin were the closest, I didn't have a choice. Martin and Jason did not have the best relationship. This is all very confusing for everyone.
Confusing is one word for it, yeah. You couldn't have brought back anyone. Like, you could have brought back Buck or Starsong. It had to be those two.
The big plan was Jason's idea. I did not want to do this. I don't even think it's going to work. I don't think they're going to get these abilities. I think they are just going to be normal teenagers that are now trapped in an alternate reality.
He just pinches as hard as he can because he's like, this is how you do it. This is how you wake up. If it doesn't, it's like, it's gotta work. And then he does, and nothing happens.
Martin, you leave my brain alone, you little prick.
Bashara goes, wait, Martin's messing with your head? It's working. The Dalnea, they're a very aggressive alien species and they want to dominate Earth. Like, they want to take over Earth. Their invasion isn't 3 days away now, it's two. So someone who is in that meeting with those plans leaked that information to the Dalnea. That's how we know that there's a leak. She looks at Jason and she says, you're the leak.
Okay, that doesn't, why would he tell us there's a leak if that was the case?
And he says, before all of this started, you were the one that wanted to replace the League of Defense with advanced robots, and now they're all dead.
And I just like grab her by the shirt and lift her like 3 feet off the ground and I'm just like screaming in her face, did you kill my friends?
The windows to Bashara's condo explode inward. And you are now face to face with two Dalneans.
Great, I'm gonna run and get the one that is closest to them and run out the window with it. Hello and welcome back to Fractured Futures. This is Hannah's Masks one-shot, and we're about to get right back into it. But before we do, I want to invite everyone to come join us over on the Cast Junkie server. Come just click the link that's in our show notes and come join us over on the Thornvale channel, because I'm sure there are lots of things we are going to want to talk about with this episode. With that out of the way, we will go ahead and let Hannah get back into the story. Go ahead, Hannah.
Yeah, so before we go resolve what happened the last episode, there are two kind of like game things that we need to go over. First, we talked about influence before, but I realized we forgot to mention that there are actually class-specific influence, like moves. So for the bowl, it's you're selective about who you let in, give your love and your rival influence over you, but that's it. So then Jonas and Martin would then have influence over Sierra. So that's something to make a note of on your play sheet. And then the protege's influence is choose your demeanor, playful or business. If playful, give influence to two teammates, which would be both in this case. But if business, give influence to no teammates, like zero teammates. So, Wesley, do you think that your demeanor is playful or business?
Knowing what I know about Martin, faced with the reality of this situation, I would think that his demeanor would be more business, I think.
Okay.
It makes more sense to me than playful.
Okay, so then your teammates don't have influence over you, so you don't have to worry about that. And then the legacy influence is you're part of this team for better or worse, and you care what they think, so give influence to all of your teammates. So everyone would have influence over Jonas then as well.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that's understandable.
And then because we have started conflict with these new aliens appearing, we need to go over team moves. Because whenever you first launch into a dangerous situation as a team, it opens up the team pool. So there are certain things you can do to add more team to the pool. But essentially what it is like kind of like extra points you can draw on during conflict to help your roles be better. It's a way to kind of cooperate and use like your abilities as a team to help you succeed in conflict or in combat. So it says when you enter battle against a dangerous foe as a team, you're going to add two to the team pool. If everyone has the same purpose in the fight, add another team. If the leader has influence over every teammate, add another team. If any team member mistrusts the leader of the team, you remove one. And if your team is ill-prepared or off-balance, you remove a team. So that's how the team pool kind of starts. You go through those questions to evaluate like what your situation is. I don't know if there's a specific leader of the team yet, so I think we'll ignore that one for now. I think everyone has the same purpose of the fight, which would take it to three. But you guys are ill-prepared, so I would remove that. So I think you're going to start with two team. So I think we'll start you off with two. Anyways, how using team works, I'm just going to read from the book. Team is a resource that the team of young superheroes can use to help each other. It represents their unity, their connection, and their coordination. So anyone on the team can spend team out of the pool to give a teammate plus one on a move after the roll. To do this, the spender has to be able to actually help. If you're in a completely different place from your teammate, then you can't spend the team to help unless it makes sense in the fiction, like a telepathic connection. Multiple teammates can spend team from the pool to help on the same roll. So even low rolls can be turned into hits when the whole group pitches in and there's enough team in the pool. So for instance, if... let's say, Sierra, you roll a 5. If Jonas spends one and Martin spends one, that makes it a 7. So it becomes a mixed success instead of a failure. So that's kind of how that works. Does that make sense for everybody?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay. So that's kind of how that works. It's actually really cool. So you can really help kind of make things more successful. But it is, you know, there is the team pool. So we just need to keep track of how many points are in the team. But I don't think the pool is ever going to reset during this one shot because it says to reset it after time passes. But because it is like 2 days, I don't think there's really going to be enough time to like reset it. So we'll just have one pool for the whole one shot.
All right.
Any questions on that before we go back to Sierra launching herself out of a window?
I don't think so because I want to hear Martin and Jonas's reaction to her pitching herself out the window.
Okay. All right, great. So let's get back into things. So where we left off, two Dalnaean aliens had just crashed through the windows and Sierra launched herself out of the window with the Dalnaea. What I would like you to do is roll Unleash Your Powers, and this is going to determine what happens.
Alrighty.
And while she's rolling, Jonas and Martin, how are you reacting to these alien creatures who have just appeared in front of you?
Is there anything here that could count as an insurmountable barrier?
I don't know. I think glass is pretty breakable, so I wouldn't count that.
I know it was already broken anyways.
Oh, true. Yeah, they broke it when they came in, so.
I was just seeing if I could use my physics, what physics move, because I'm better at danger than freak.
Oh, gotcha. So, Martin and Jonas, what are you guys, how do you react to aliens? This is your first alien encounter.
I got a 7.
Yay! Okay.
Martin is, he kind of stumbles back, because he's never, you know, he's never seen them. Unless we want to say he's seen, like, on one of the monitors what they look like, but he hasn't, has he?
No, you guys haven't seen these before.
Okay, so he kind of stumbles back and then watches the one go out the window with Sierra, but he can tell that this thing is like he knows what a, you know, even if it's the far future, he's smart enough to recognize that's probably a firearm. That's bad news for us. And so he stumbles back, but he doesn't run away. He stumbles back a little, and then he after recalling what he trying to recall what it felt like, what it felt like with Sierra earlier, he's going to, and this is all happening in a very short amount of time because he doesn't know how long he's got. He makes another unconscious to try to basically invade this thing's mind and get it to. He sees the weapon there, and if he can pull this off, his thought is that he wants this thing to go away. So that translates into his power as he's projecting for the other alien to take the gun and turn it against itself.
Okay, you're not gonna be able to do that, but that's great that he wants to do that.
Oh, I can't. Okay.
No, you don't have complete control over your abilities yet.
Well, see, if it's unconscious, then...
It's okay. No, I don't know. What is Jonas thinking? What's his kind of reaction?
So I think Jonas is going to have a similar reaction. He's not really sure what to do about these things yet, and he's still feeling kind of like a regular person. So I think he's going to try and find some cover to duck behind.
Okay. Okay. So, Susanna / Sierra rolled a 7. So, on a 7 with Unleash Your Powers, either you, on a hit you do it, or on a 7 and 9 you mark a condition, or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary. So, what I'm gonna say happens here is that you succeed in knocking the Dalnayan out the window and onto the balcony below. But, like, the force of your, like, Hulk form, I don't know what we want to call it, your monster form, and the Dalnayan, like, hitting the balcony, makes the balcony, like, start to crack, and the balcony is not going to stay stable for long.
Oh, shoot.
It's, like, going to collapse, so you don't have much time on the balcony.
Did I kill it?
Not quite. No. You definitely hurt it, but he's not dead.
Okay, then I'm going to rip its head off.
Okay, so that's going to be directly engage a threat. So I would like you to roll for that.
Oh, good. I got a 9.
A 9. Okay, so on a 9. So it says when you directly engage a threat, roll plus danger. On a hit, trade blows. On a 10 plus, pick 2. On a 7 and 9, pick 1. So you have to pick one from the list that you would like. So the list is resist or avoid their blows. Take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
So I am going to use take something away from him to mean that I'm going to take his head away from him.
Okay, great. Okay, so you do that.
Unless me hitting him is just going to kill him, and then I'll just take his gut.
Well, you have to pick one or the other. You either kill him by ripping off his head or you take his gun.
So I am going to kill him.
So how this is something that's different is that if it's possible for you to do it, it just happens. So Sierra's monster form is very powerful, so I say it's definitely within her abilities to just take his head off. So yeah, if you want to, you can.
Then that's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna take his head away from him.
Okay. Yeah, so how combat kind of works is that there's no hit points, like there's no like real damage. If it's within your abilities to do it and you succeed on directly engage a threat, that's pretty much it for the thing. Which is why directly engage a threat is only available once you've like surprised or shocked or stunned or disabled your opponent in some way. So because you were able to surprise the Dalnea by launching him out of the window, you're able to then directly engage him. So that's kind of how that works. So, okay. So yeah, so since it's within your, yeah. With,
well, I am definitely strong enough, so I'm just gonna do it.
You rip his head off.
So he's dead now?
Yeah, for sure. He's dead. Yeah. But you need to get off the balcony ASAP because it's like crumbling and going to fall off.
Before that, can I ask, can I like make sure that there's no people below me that would get like hurt if it fell?
Yeah, if you want to.
Assess the situation.
Yeah, assess the situation. Go ahead.
I got a 9.
Okay. So you get to ask one question.
So this just essentially works like the move, read a bad situation, and monster of the week.
Yes. Yes, so when you assess the situation, you roll superior. On a 10 plus, you ask 2. On a 7 to 9, you ask 1. And then you take plus 1 while you're acting on the answers to the question. So, first question.
Do you want to go ahead and read the question, since this is the first time our audience will be hearing it?
Yes, yeah. It's basically read a bad situation. There's one that says, what here can I use to blank? So it's a little bit open-ended. And then the other ones are, what is the biggest threat? What is the greatest danger? What here is most vulnerable to me, and how could we best end this quickly?
So I'm going to ask, what here is most vulnerable to me in terms of, is it me here on the ledge, or are there people below me?
It's going to be you. It's getting kind of late, so there's not really too many people out on their balcony at this time, especially because it's January and it's colder.
So I'm going to dive back through the glass door to the balcony and back into the building.
Okay, so you're diving back into the building. Okay, so let's go back up to Jonas and Martin and Bashara and Jason. Martin, you said that you were attempting to kind of like tap into your abilities, correct?
Yes, but if it doesn't, you know, if it has to be unconscious or doesn't work, I can understand that.
Yeah, so you still don't have control over it. I'll still let you roll for it, but I'm going to give you like a negative 2.
Oh joy.
So you can roll unleash your powers, but with a negative 2.
Okay. And this, I can never remember these. These are...
It's freak, yeah. So roll freak with a negative 2. It's a 7. Okay.
That is a 7. Minus 2 would make that 5.
Oh, minus 2 makes it a 5. Okay. I thought that was with the minus 2, and I was like, wow, that was a good roll.
No.
All right, so with a 5, for unleash your powers, I'm going to say just that it doesn't work. Essentially, and you're gonna, because the 7 and 9 says to like either mark a condition or like that it's unstable, I'm gonna have you mark a condition. So I'm gonna have you mark the hopeless condition, because that one is linked to unleash your powers.
Okay.
Take the condition hopeless, because you tried to use your powers and they did not work.
Okay, great.
Jonas, what exactly are you doing? I know you said you weren't really running into battle, but like, what were you kind of thinking of doing?
So because we're in a more technologically advanced reality, I think that Jonas is trying to look around. We are in Bachara's apartment, and she's a technology expert, so I think he's trying to find something he can defend himself with in this situation. Some kind of gun or something.
Okay, so why don't you all assess the situation, which is superior.
Oh, great. That's actually my best stat, so this should actually be pretty good. I got an 8.
An 8. Okay, great. So you get to ask one question from the assess the situation list.
All right, I'm going to ask, what can I use to defend myself?
This is Bashara's apartment, so there is a lot of like advanced tech around. So you do notice that there is like a gun nearby that you could pick up and use.
How close is it to me? Is it right nearby, or?
So it's on that table before, you know, where you saw like the blueprints for the advanced like mechanical skeleton. It's like on that table where you were looking at things before.
Yeah, then I'll go run over to the table and pick it up.
Okay, so you can do that. That's like within your ability to do. So I'll say that you run up to the table. Bashara and Jason, meanwhile, are kind of trying to... Bashara, on her wrist, you know how she has the, wow, I made it. I can't even think of the name. The reality thing. The device that allows her to go into different realities. She has that panel on her wrist. And so she starts, like, activating it. And she essentially is like, we need to get out of here now. And is trying to kind of, like, escort you guys away. And Jason is more along the lines of, we need to get rid of the Dalnea as well, kind of along Sierra's lines. And so he's also looking for some kind of weapon that he can use. The Dalnea...
Doesn't Jason, like, have superpowers? Can he help?
Jason does not have superpowers. So Jason is the founder, like, the legacy advisor. But he actually is not a super. His grandfather was, who founded the League of Defense, but he is not.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yes, so Jason is actually just a normal dude. So, yeah, he's not too much help right now. But he is looking for some kind of weapon as well, kind of along the lines of Jonas. The Dalnea, meanwhile, sees that Jonas has gone for the gun and aims his gun at Jonas. So, and takes a step towards him. And is also kind of he is raising his gun and he's prepared to shoot Jonas.
So who's going to go next then? Is it going to be me?
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's either you or Martin.
Yeah, then I'm going to dive behind the couch for cover then.
Okay. So we'll say that as you dive, like, the Dalnea does shoot off, but because you dodged out of the way, you missed the the energy bolt that comes from the gun. Martin, would you like to do anything? Or the Dalnea is now shooting at Jonas.
Okay. Well, I'm guessing it would be pointless to attempt any other power related anything since I'm not yet there.
Yeah, not really.
Okay. Then yes, he's also going to look out for the closest piece of cover he can find.
Okay. Well, say at this point, Sierra, do you think you've had enough time to get up the stairs?
Yeah, okay. So I think this is the point when Sierra has made it back up the stairs and is going to burst through the door and blow Bashar's door off its hinges and run into the room.
Okay.
So I'm going to, like, push Jason out of the way, and he goes just flying, like, probably, like, 10 feet.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to run full bore and just tackle this thing into the ground.
Okay. Does Jonas want to try and shoot him, or do you think...
I'm thinking that I definitely want to provide some covering fire to help her out with this.
Okay. It's Bashara's gun that he picked up off the table. Yeah.
All right, what role is it for me to provide covering fire?
Let me take a look. I think it might be defending someone. Because you're basically providing cover for Sierra. Yeah, I'm going to call that, like, defend someone. So go ahead and...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, so go ahead and roll that. So defend is when you defend someone or something from an immediate threat, roll plus savior. For NPC threats, on a hit, you keep them safe and then choose one. On a 7 to 9, it costs you, expose yourself to danger, or escalate the situation.
Nice, so savior is actually my best stat, so I'm going to get an extra plus 2 on top of that. I got a 13.
Wow. Great job.
All right, so I think I know what I'm going to choose. I'm going to choose clear condition because I still have afraid from earlier.
Okay.
But I definitely think that laying down some covering fire in this moment is definitely going to suffice with him not being afraid anymore, you know, directly engaging this enemy.
Yes, that works. That works. So, yeah, so you definitely lay down this cover fire very efficiently so that Sierra is able to dive in and tackle the Dalnea. And then, yes, you can clear your condition of afraid.
So I had an idea here that we might be able to do narratively, if you think it makes sense. So what I was thinking was that in this moment, he's connecting with his powers a bit more. And one of his powers is Holmesian deduction. And like you said, he's laying down this covering fire very efficiently. So I was thinking, you know, he probably has never fired a gun before in his reality. He's kind of just picking up that ability to deduce where he should place those shots to be most effective, and that way he's touching his powers a little bit.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're starting to connect just by doing the action. That totally makes sense. Yep, yep. So, is Sierra going to directly engage again?
So, I'm going to go tackle this thing, and then I'm going to use my fist to pummel its head until it stops moving.
Okay. So go ahead and roll directly engage a threat. As Jonas was able to successfully kind of distract and defend there.
Oh, crap.
6.
I'm going to jump in and use a team point and help her out.
Okay, yeah, you can do that for sure.
I think what makes sense is I'm just continuing to provide that covering fire to help her out with this.
Yeah, you're already providing cover fire, so you guys have one team left in the pool.
Yeah, that brings me up to a 7.
7, which makes it a mixed success. So for mixed, you get to choose one from the list.
Yeah, so I think I am going to go ahead and take his gun away just in case. Because, like, I don't know if I'm going to kill him right away. I don't know if this one's any different from the other ones.
Okay. So you're going to take something from them. So you're still going to, like, succeed in killing it. This is the options are not really, like, don't determine if you kill it or not. It's...
Just the flavor, right?
What you do, yeah. Yeah, so we'll say that you kind of, you said you're going to smash its head until it stops moving?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll say that you, like, kind of rip the gun out of its hands first and then start just smashing his head, like, into the concrete, like, taking it with your hands, just, like, smashing it as hard as you can. And there is a bit of a struggle, like, you do trade blows and you are, like, kind of scuffed up a little bit. But then, yes, the Dalnea does eventually just stop moving.
Is anyone else getting serious Hulk and Loki vibes right now?
So I just keep hitting this thing over and over and over again until it stops moving. And then when it stops moving, I hit it a couple more times. And finally, I'm just like, and I start to go back down to my regular size. And I have to imagine I am just like covered in whatever color this thing's blood is.
Oh, it's purple, actually.
So yeah, I attack this thing until I am just covered in its purple blood, and then I come back down into my regular form. And then I just look at it for a couple of seconds, and I'm gonna kick it. Just twice more, make a wet, squelchy noise.
And I want to say at this point, Martin has come out from, I'm guessing he was like behind the couch or just behind cover, or, you know, he didn't really partake in this, but he did see what she just did, and the fact that she did in effect save their lives, and he steps out and he just, you know, grudgingly, but he says it, he means it, he looks at her and he says, "That was gross, but pretty amazing." Yeah,
that's kind of my thing, gross but amazing.
And he sort of smirks, and I think that I like to think that at that moment he's like, she's getting flashes of the original Martin, because it seems like one of those things that you know, they just spar off each other, but he definitely, underneath it all, he does mean it.
And I turn on Bashara and I'm going to say, "I'm going to ask you again, did you kill my friends?"
So you want to fight with Bashara again?
Yeah, I want to know if she killed my friends. I'm going to turn on her and I'm just going to start getting pink again.
Bashara is like backing away from you at this point, because she knows how angry you can get.
Dangerous.
Yes. And she says, "I think for now we need to focus on getting out of here into the stronghold."
"No, right now we need to focus on whether or not you killed my friends. I want to know, Bashara, did you do this?"
I'd like to think the other two are just watching this without saying a word to see what happens.
Jason steps in as well and goes, "Sierra, we need to talk about this. Just let's talk. No throwing, okay?"
Okay, fine. We can go. But we are going to have this conversation later.
Jason kind of begrudgingly says, "She is right, though. We should try to get to the stronghold. I think that's the safest place for all of us right now." Do Jonas and Martin, do you guys have anything that you want to say or about? Like, what are you guys thinking right now?
I think that Martin, even after accepting it as he did last session, this is the first time it's become really real. Mm-hmm. Okay, because, you know, he saw the alien, he saw the gun, and so now he's still processing it, but he has come to the conclusion that, whatever the case, hey, there's this girl who can take down two of these in very short order. It might be a good idea to stick with this group for right now. So he just starts, he just follows along for right now.
Jonas, anything?
So I think Jonas is having a similar reaction to Martin, kind of a little bit different. So he wasn't quite as unsure about how real this all was. But after that last fight, he tapped into that Holmesian deduction. And I think that helped him kind of relate to his powers and the fact that he's actually becoming a superhero and perhaps becoming part of this team.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So have you guys all kind of agreed to go to the stronghold, or is Sierra insistent on having the conversation now? Because we could do either.
No, I think Jason calmed me down. We can go ahead and go.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she agrees. The stronghold is probably going to be the safest place for us, and she's worried about losing these people again.
And I mean, the Dalnea obviously know that you're there, so.
I think Martin, his main reason is, of course, to be safe, but then also, as a person, he's not normally afraid to stand up for himself, but he, you know, he's calmed down that he's realized, you know, I was the one who hid, so now he's thinking that the best way to learn more about his supposed powers, which he has seen some proof of, is to go to the stronghold, because he doesn't want to have to be the person who hides again.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Jonas is ready to go.
Yeah, Sierra's ready to go. I don't know how we're going to be getting there, if we're taking, like, there's some sort of, like, teleportation pad that we can use. If not, I guess we can just go in a car.
So you do have to, Bashara doesn't actually have teleportation. She just has, like, the reality thing. So you do have to drive. So how you get to the stronghold is you guys will drive together to basically Jason's, like, office building, which is the front for, like, the League of Defense, I guess, and his, like, business with the Aplistium. It's mainly for his, like, Aplistium business corporation. But so you'll drive to his office, and basically it's a very modern-looking building. And so he'll take you back, and Sierra, you're very familiar with the way, so I'm sure you know exactly, you know, where you're going and things like that. But
so how far of a drive is that?
I'd say like maybe like 15, 20 minutes. Not too far.
So I was just thinking that maybe we wanted to have some kind of conversation, you know, just talking to each other on the way there.
You guys can decide that. Do you want to have a conversation in the car?
Sierra is not talking. I can tell you that much.
I think Martin is—he's not talking, but he is looking. He's looking out there. He's got his face glued to the window. He's looking at all this stuff that's different. And this is, you know, it's becoming clearer and clearer to him that he is, well, to borrow a phrase, not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. Jonas, you're from nowhere, like in your reality, and this is nowhere. But like. Like, the streets kind of follow the same paths, and, like, there's some similar, like, businesses, but this is completely the opposite of your nowhere. Your nowhere is very run down, like, rural. This is very modern and futuristic, so this is, like, the complete opposite, but also strangely familiar. It's, like, a weird deja vu, or at least I'd think you'd feel, like, kind of like a weird deja vu kind of feeling.
So yeah, Jonas is definitely looking, you know, face to the glass, like he's interested in what he's seeing. You know, it looks similar to what he's used to seeing before, but definitely a lot more technologically advanced than his reality, and it just really interests him.
And Hannah, one question. Was that, with leaving for the stronghold, did that mark the end of that whole sequence, or not? Because I just think that one of my moves there could have removed one of my labels.
Which move, and then?
I thought I could remove the afraid label because the afraid label is removed when you run from something, and he did in effect run from the alien. Or not, it's up to you. I just thought it might work.
I'm not sure if you didn't really run from the alien. You tried to fight it and then failed the roll.
Well, yes, but then I did try to fight him, then I ran. But I guess you can't have them both happen at the same time, can you? Okay. I thought it might work, but okay, I'll keep it then, I guess.
I mean, I'm trying to think. These things are pretty flexible. It's just like if we decide that counts. So what do you guys think? Do you think that counts?
I think that since it was in response to him failing the attack roll, then I don't think it's going to count.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, fine. No worries.
It's okay.
Don't worry. I'm sure you'll have plenty of opportunities to run away.
Yes.
Well, not that I want to do that. Boy.
So Jason's going to take you into this building. And so it's all three of you, Jason and Bashara. And Jason takes you in his office. It's kind of cluttered right now, which is not usually how it looks. There's like file folders and papers that are scattered across like the desk and on the floor. Behind his desk is what appears to be, like, at first glance, large windows that overlook, like, a courtyard in the building. These windows are, like, in the back of his office. Jason doesn't stop as he like walks through the windows. And then there's like a shimmer and you realize that the windows are actually like an advanced projection. So Jason disappears behind this projection.
And I'm just gonna walk right through him.
Yeah, Sierra follows. Do you guys just walk through? Do you want to take a moment to look around or...
I think as he's moving towards, Martin is looking around, but after having seen the tech woman with the piece of tech that can pull from different realities, you know, a projection is not anything new when in comparison. So, yeah, he glances around, but he does follow on.
So I think as soon as Jonas sees this thing, he's immediately interested in it and, you know, wants to figure out how it works and... You know, what's making the projection show up, and I think he's going to actually try and hang back a bit and try and, you know, just look into this thing and what makes it tick.
I think Bashara might make a motion like, come on, you know, as she walks through because she knows that you know, because you guys were kind of like you studied off of her, so she's familiar with your habits, but, so you step through the projection, you enter into kind of like a lobby area, and there's a large set of elevator doors. So, the elevator doors almost remind you of something that you'd see in, like, a mine shaft. So you guys get the impression that you're immediately going to be going, like, very deep underground. So, above the elevator is the word stronghold. I've been waiting for this. Okay. So, stronghold is an acronym. Are you ready for it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It stands for the Subterranean Training Room, Observatory, and Nexus for Generations of Hero Operations in the League of Defense.
And I thought Hunter
wow.
was coming.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. I love it.
Yes, bravo to you. That might be one of the biggest acronyms I've ever heard, but I love it.
Yes. So, you see above the elevator doors, it says, you know, Subterranean Training Room, Observatory, Nexus, and Nexus. It's a mouthful. For Generations of Hero Operations and League of Defense. So, Stronghold is an acronym. So, you see that above these doors. And so, Jason reaches out a hand to press it against, like, a biometric scanner that's in front of it. And as soon as it, like, recognizes Jason's identity, the elevator doors open. And he ushers for you guys to kind of follow him in.
And I'm going to go ahead and follow.
And okay. I follow as well.
I'll follow too.
Okay. So Sierra would know this, but the elevator has to confirm everybody's identities in order for it to even move. So once you get inside, there's a biometric scanner that you do have to put your hand on. So you'll see Jason do the same thing on the inside as he did as the outside, and then I'm guessing Sierra and Bashara would as well. So are you guys just going to put your hand on the thing, or?
Yep, I'll do that.
Okay. And Martin's a little more hesitant, but yes, he does.
Okay. So the biometric scanner gives like a beep as soon as it confirms that, you know, the identities match with everybody that's in the in the elevator. And then... Jonas and Martin, I want you to roll mundane because the elevator is about to drop super fast and I want to see if you fall on your butt.
Well, that's a failure.
So was mine.
Can I like try to reach out and just like grab their shirts and try to catch them?
I mean, you can, but I just want to see if they fall over or if they,
You know, we're really flipping that stereotype in its head, I think. You know, she's the one catching me as I fall instead of the other way around.
Ooh.
Oh, she catches him. Hmm.
She catches him in her arms. So what happens is as soon as the Martin like skins his hand and it gives that last like beep, the elevator literally just like drops. It almost feels like
Tower of like Terror, Walt Disney World.
Yeah, like a Tower of Terror ride essentially. Like one of those rides that just drops and you almost feel like you're instantly in free fall. So Sierra and the others are used to it, so they're actually like, you know, braced for it. So I think what happens is that you guys, like, start to, like, fall back, and Sierra just kind of gently, like, pushes you guys both, like, upright.
Up you go.
But you both got kind of, like, fall. The elevator, like, almost feels like it hits free fall, and your ears kind of pop as you go deep under, like, ground. And then the elevator stops, and an automated voice says, "Welcome to Stronghold, Jason, Sierra, Jonas, Martin, Bashara." you know, like the automated system. Once the elevator stops, you hear the sound of like a large lock kind of like pulling open, and then the elevator's doors slide back. And the first thing that you notice when you step out of this is that you're entering into this long hallway. And there's a mass amount of photos on the walls of this entry tunnel. And so as you walk down the hall, you see that the photos are all portraits of superheroes. And below each of the heroes is like a golden name tag. And the tag lists like their hero name, the years that they served in the League of Defense. Some have like their actual like secret identity names as well, while others still say classified. And you see like the first set says like the Golden Age, and then down along the line it says the Silver Age, and then as you keep going there's the Bronze and then the Modern Age. So like as you walk down this hallway, you realize that you're like literally walking through a visual timeline of like the roster for the League of Defense.
That's pretty cool actually, yeah.
So does that mean I would notice my dad's picture? I mean, I don't...
Yeah, so you would see...
I grew up as an orphan.
I mean, I don't know if you...
They died when I was very young, so I'm not sure if I would actually notice him or not. I don't know if I had pictures of him.
Yeah, so it would depend on how familiar you are in your reality with your actual birth father.
I don't think I'm very familiar with him at all.
Okay, so then you probably wouldn't notice, but his picture is up there.
I think Martin has something a little similar, because Hannah, are we, is this still a secret or can I say it?
I'm not sure like, what you're going to say.
Well, okay. it's just that it's the thing about the mentor, the mentor for my protege.
Yeah. So you would recognize because you're familiar, your family back home in your reality is very closely like tight knit. And so Jason is your father, but in this reality, he isn't a superhero. So his picture isn't up here, but obviously you've already met Jason. You do recognize both of your grandparents on the wall because Jason's, you know, parents were both supers and their parents were both supers. So you do recognize your grandma specifically as your mentor on the wall as you walk through.
Yeah. And we picked her a name, didn't we? We have a name?
Yes. Her name is Wink.
Ah, yeah. But it makes sense for her power when we figure it out. But he goes through and he sees this and he kind of pauses and he just looks up and he's like, "No way." And he just reaches out to like he just touches the glass really slowly and then pulls it back and he's like, "I know that face anywhere." And then he just keeps on following. He like the others are a little bit ahead of him, I think, at this point. Mm-hmm.
When we get to the end of the hall, I think Sierra probably just stops and stares up at all of her fallen team members, including Jonas and Martin.
Yeah, so actually, that's a good point. At the end of the hall, it is like the modern age of heroes, and they've actually kind of set up like an extra like table in the hallway with kind of like a memorial type thing. And it has each of like the heroes that have been killed. It has like their picture with like a little candle in front of them. But Jonas's isn't on the table yet.
Yeah, because it just happened.
So his is on the wall right now, but like the other ones are on the table for this special like memorial that you guys set up. So Martin's picture is on the table with the candle.
I think that Sierra was probably the one that set up the memorials. Like, she was the one that went and took their pictures down, and she went and got some, like, little pink candles from her room and set them up. And so you just see the super pictures there and then little pink candles that she's been lighting and visiting.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin comes up and looks at his own photo, and he's just out loud to himself. He says... I knew there were theories about multiple realities and twins in comics, but oh wow! And he turns back to Sierra and the others and or Sierra and Bashara, and he says, "This is real, isn't it?"
I just turn to Martin and I just give him a look like, "Yeah, duh."
Bashara just kind of gives a comment like, "Yes, this is very real." And then she continues on. And she lets you guys stay there. But she continues on into, like, what is called the Nexus of the Stronghold, which is like the main like living quarters, kind of like main area that connects the whole base. So it's just basically like living quarters. Like there's a TV, maybe, if that wasn't the one that Sierra smashed.
Yeah, the living room one would have been the one I smashed.
Okay, so never mind. There's no TV. There's some couches, like chairs.
The destroyed TV.
True. This just happened. So I feel like Jason probably actually notices the smashed TV and just looks over at you and doesn't even say anything, but just like gives you the look. Do you say anything about it?
Yeah, so I look up at him and I'm like, I'm going to need a new phone too.
But yeah, so this is like the central room of the base. So it has like some couches, chairs, tables, like there's like a kitchen area as well. So Jason says something like, "Welcome to the stronghold." And he's like, I know it's kind of an obtuse name, but it is what it is.
I don't know. I think it's a really cool name.
And I think Martin just starts to just slowly walk through and look around and find out where things are.
Once we're here, I'm going to go ahead and turn around on Bashara again and try to get some answers.
Bashara is not going to stay in the room. She's going to go towards her lab. So if you want her to stay there, you're going to have to stop her from leaving if you want to have that conversation.
So I'm going to put myself right in front of her, in front of that door, and say, we need to have that talk now.
I don't know if you heard, but there's an invasion happening in now 2 days. I think we need to start making some preparations.
I don't think Sierra is interested in talking about preparations right now. I think she really wants to know if Bashara killed her friends.
Roll Pierce the Mask.
I got a 5.
Oh, man.
So is there any kind of help out, or is team points your only option at this point?
I think team points is the only way for, like, to help out in this.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be a team endeavor. I think this is just going to be one of those times when I'm not going to get the information I wanted.
Okay, so you fail.
Oh, boy.
So what does she say to me?
I'm trying to think of what she says. That's a good question. So she says, no, I mean, yes, I made plans to replace everyone with androids. Like, yes, that is something that I had planned to do. But why would I ever do that?
Sierra is just going to, like, level a look at Bashara. Like, she's not super sure whether she should believe her. But she's just going to say, okay, fine. And she's just going to go sit down on the couch.
Okay, so she's going to walk off to her lab and kind of, like, lock herself in the lab.
So, yeah, after Bashara leaves, Martin turns to Jason and walks slowly up to him. He's kind of nervous because this guy looks like his dad, but is not, so it's still kind of still a little weird for him. But he says, I know that what I did back there at the apartment wasn't the best thing, especially since I have these supposed powers, which, by the way, I think I may have just unconsciously had something that happened. But if we only have 2 days left, I don't know about everyone else, but I would very much like to survive, which I believe means that. So how did you train him? Did you train him? Is there anything you can give me? Because I don't want to go out there again without being ready.
And Sierra looks up and says, as much as I hate to admit it, I think he's right. We need to start training them. Like, we have 2 days. We have 2 days, Jason. And it took us years to train up Martin and Jonas before. And honestly, with 2 days left, like, these two are hopeless.
Now, hold on a second. We are not helpless. I mean, we were able to help out in that fight back there, and I was able to tap into my powers and provide some covering fire, and yes, it wasn't perfect, but we can do this. We can learn, and we can help, and we can train.
Covering fire? Yeah, well, any mook with a gun can provide covering fire. You guys need to be able to control people's minds, and Jonas, you should have been able to just turn that guy's gun off and just jam it automatically. Yeah, you can provide covering fire, but that's not going to be able to stop an alien invasion. So excuse me if I'm feeling a little hopeless.
I think Martin's gonna interject that it says, look, I know that we are not them. We never will be them, but please do not count us out right now, because you have to realize we were just pulled from an entire reality and we don't know what's going on. That is why we are asking for help, because whatever the case, I don't think either one of us wants to die. Do you understand?
So what are we gonna do, Jason?
Jason, he looks at his watch, and he looks at the time, and he's like, it's getting pretty late. Honestly, I mean, we could start training tonight, but I think we should get some rest and start first thing in the morning.
Okay, fine. But when are we going to start?
Now, I'll let you know. You do have the option to not sleep, but you'll have to mark a condition.
Oh, yeah, I am 100% not going to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping either.
So, but Jason says, continues and says, we'll have to, I mean, you know the training room, Sierra, we're going to have to do some hardcore training with them. It's the only option that we have. And with that, Jason leaves to go to his little room that he has down here. And I think that's a good stopping point, if you guys agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Aw, man.
Scattered, broken, riven between.